I was over there, and I was like, I'm not seeing Vernon over here. But it's good to meet you, to see you again.
Me too. But just to start, it is Wednesday, February 17th, 2021. I'm interviewing Margie Lucas, who was a member of the first African Americans to enter Louisa County High School in 1965. So welcome, Margie.
Thank you.
Want to first let you introduce yourself. Yes, your name and where you were born and where you're living now.
Actually, my name is Marjorie Lucas. I was born here in Louisa County. I actually live in Mineral now. I've been in Mineral back home for about 17 years.
Okay. So thinking back to 1965, what led you to be one of those 13 to integrate Louisa County High School?
Actually, Joe Morris was the one that introduced me to transferring. And he actually came to the house to talk to me. And I was like, I don't think so, Joe. And he kept talking. He was like, it'll be a great opportunity for you to, you know, go with us. Because I think he had already gotten William and Steve.
William Mason and Steve Wright.
Yeah, he had talked with them and they were going to do it. And I was like, well, who else is going? And he said Norman Graves, he was going to talk with him. And he kept talking and talking and talking. I said, okay, all right. I said, it will be a great opportunity to meet new people, make new friends, and all of that. So that was the reason why.
Okay. And how did your parents feel about it?
They were okay. My whole family was okay with it. They were. Okay. They were truly okay with it.
Yeah. Now, did you have any white neighbors or friends that you knew when you arrived that first day?
No, not okay. At the school. Didn't know a soul.
Okay. So Joe persuaded you at 10. Let's talk about that first day of school. And did you ride the bus to school?
I did.
Okay. What was your experiences when you first got on the bus?
It was like they were staring at me like, what are you doing on this bus? I don't even know how they knew where to pick, because we didn't live on the main road. We lived like back off of the main road, so I had to walk to the main road to catch the bus. And Mr. Talley was my bus driver. He was very nice. So I got on the bus, and I was trying to find a single seat, because everybody was like looking like, I don't want you sitting beside me. You know, they were like on the outside seat and like trying to bar me from getting into the seat next to the window. So I always did that.
So were you able to find an empty seat?
Yes. And then when the afternoon came to leave school, I did have some incidents on the bus. Some of the children would throw spitballs, and which I did not like at all. So, and of course, they were sitting behind me, and I would look around at them, and everybody's like, you know, I didn't do it. They didn't say that, but that's the look they had on their face, and they had their arms like, you know, I didn't do that.
Do you think the bus driver saw that happening?
No, he was not. He was oblivious. Seemed like to me that what was going on, because I was the only black on the bus, the only.
And how long did that continue?
What, the spitballs and all of that?
Yes, that kind of did. The whole school year for the most part?
No, it didn't. It was just maybe the first couple of months into school, to the school year, because I would give them a look like, you know, I'm not going to take this. And they knew, And also, too, there was a little boy on the school bus. And I don't know, inevitably, he would always be sitting behind me. And it was Mr. Kane's son. He would get sick every day going home in the evening. And nobody was trying to help him, so I would. I had tissues in my purse, and I would give him tissues to wipe his face and, you know, kind of clean him up and everything. And I guess they saw me doing that, so they pretty much figured that, you know, she's being nice to one of us, so we better be nice to her. And come to find out, my uncle was a real businessman here in Louisa, and he knew a lot of people because, you know, he was building houses and selling houses and all of that. So one day, this was after I had graduated, he came to the house and he said to me, he said, "Were you ever helping a little boy on the school bus because he was sick?" And I looked at him, I'm like, "Yeah, how do you know that?" His father told my uncle about me, which I thought was so special because, you know, I did it and I didn't think anything else of it. And, you know, and I wasn't brought up in a house to see color. I wasn't. So we had like white neighbors and black neighbors, relatives. So it was, you know, it was just one big family.
So thinking about that first day, first week when you entered the school, what was your impression? And knowing that you had gone to Richardson for 3 years prior, share at least your observations and how it contrasted to your experiences at Richardson.
It was very, very different. I didn't like it, and many times I wanted to tell my mom, like, I can't do this anymore, because it was stressful. It really, truly was. My first day, I kind of blocked out of my mind because it was different. I didn't know anyone. No one was trying to talk to me and help me and do anything like that. So it was a shock. It really was. And I didn't like it at all. Not at all.
So did you said you considered not wanting to continue, but did you make the decision to stay, or your mother influenced you to stay?
I did make the decision because I'm like, I'm going to fail. I'm going to make my family think that, you know, I can't do it. And I didn't want to disappoint them. I really didn't. Because everybody was on board with me doing it. And I felt like I would have been a disappointment to my family. And that was the only reason why I didn't. Only reason.
So when you said you didn't like it, what about that experience that you didn't like? Other than, no, you didn't have friends, as you said.
Yeah, and it was like, I didn't have friends and no one was trying to reach out to me. And I wasn't used to that because at AG, I was like, you know, everybody knew everybody and, you know, you became friends and, you know, hanging out together and all of that. That was none of that at Louisa County High. Nobody reached out to me. It was like I was invisible. The girls, they just never even looked my way. The guys, they would look, but then it was like, mm-mm. You know, nobody would say anything to me, nothing. And I still have nightmares now about that. I really do. Doesn't occur often, but I do. It's like in my dreams and my nightmares, I'm in Louisa County High School and I'm in the hallways and everybody's, you know, going to their particular lockers and rooms and everything, and I'm out there looking for my locker. I can't find it, and I'm petrified because I'm going to be late for class. And then, you know, then the hallway is clear. Nobody's there, and nobody's trying to help me find my locker. And then sometimes it's where I'm looking for my classroom, and nobody is there to help me.
Okay, I'm going to ask about students and then again about teachers separately, but students, were there any students that stood out as being friendly, and what did they do to make you consider them to be friendly? I use that word.
There, like I stated earlier, there was one young lady, one girl in my senior year. I don't even know how we started talking, but no one liked her, and I don't know the reason why. So we started talking, and we became friends, and she was a very nice person. I just couldn't understand. She was white. I couldn't understand why no one liked her. And it was so strange because we became close friends, and I would drive to school, and I would take her home, and she lived right down in Mineral. And I met her parents. They were accepting of me, very nice. And, you know, it was just really strange. And I'd stayed in contact with her after graduation, but I've lost contact with her. But she was the only person that reached out to me, the only.
Okay. Now, going to the other end of the spectrum, were there any children, students, who were unfriendly or did things that were offensive?
I was like invisible to the other students. It was like I wasn't there. And like I say, they never acknowledged me or tried to talk with me and find out anything about me or anything like that. I was invisible, totally invisible. They would go along their way, and if I'm standing there, you know, it's like they wouldn't even look at me. So.
And in the cafeteria doing study hall, did you have any opportunity to sit with anyone?
No.
Okay.
No, they wouldn't. They just would not. Everybody was in their own little world, and I was not a part of it.
Okay. Shifting to teachers, what was your relationship or lack thereof with teachers? Were there any who were friendly or those who were clearly not friendly?
The teachers, I had one really, really sweet lady. She was my typing teacher, and she always looked, and I, to this day, and I appreciate it, she always looked out for me. She made sure that I was getting what I needed out of the class, and she paid special attention to me. Her name was Mrs. Goodwin. I'll never forget her. And she was pretty much the only teacher that took me under her wing. The others they would treat me like I was invisible too. Well, they had a whole different way of teaching than the teachers at AG. I was on the honor roll the whole time I was in school. But when I went there, I didn't do well because I was not happy. And the teachers, like I said, they taught differently than the teachers at Richardson. And that was an adjustment. And I mean, when I say different, I'm like, at Richardson, I was in high school, and I thought that you should treat like the students like they're in high school and not in elementary school. The teachers, like my English teacher at Louisa County High, she would, and I don't know the purpose, but I don't know if, you know, she did this with other classes or if this was just her way of teaching, but she would have, and I'm in the 12th grade, she would have us read story, but each person had to take a paragraph and read it aloud. And I'm like, I'm not in elementary school. I don't know if that's the way she taught every class or she wanted to make sure I was literate. You know, that's the impression I got. And it was not good. It was not good. And I was invisible to the other teachers. I mean, you know, it wasn't like class participation or, you know, they'd be teaching and they'll ask a question and then, like, call you out to answer the question or something like that. It was none of that. It was just like they didn't want to hear from me.
Okay. Now, Joe Morris, Steve Wright, William Mason were all juniors that first year. Did you share class with any of them?
Mm-hmm, I did. I shared a couple with all of them. I don't remember what classes they were, but not every class. Okay. It was much easier for the guys to maneuver, you know, and make friends and all of that. But having the girls, I don't know if it was a jealousy thing or they just felt like they were superior to me. But, you know, I think did William play on the basketball team?
No, just Joe and Steve played.
Okay, I didn't remember Steve, but I remember Joe. Yeah, and he had friends. I mean, you know, the guys, they would, like, shoot the breeze with him and Steve, and, you know. But I had no one doing that with me, no one. Girls or boys, mm-hmm. No one.
Now, you said you made the honor roll at Richardson. Now, when you entered Louisa, did you feel intellectually on par with the average white student?
I did.
Okay.
I did, but, you know, I knew that I wasn't accepted, so I did not join any clubs or anything, and I was in everything at Richardson, every club I could get in.
Did you feel that you could have joined and would have been accepted if you wanted to?
I'm not sure. I just didn't, because I felt like I wasn't going to be accepted. And I didn't want to be rejected like that. I was getting enough of that, you know, just being at the school and not being in any clubs or anything like that.
Now, when you look at it from an economic standpoint, do you feel that economically you were, or maybe so your parents, were equal from a, you know, dressing and, mm-hmm. Okay, equal to the whites?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I had high self-esteem, and I knew that, you know, from being at Richardson and my accomplishments there, that, you know, I could do it. But it was just tough. It was hard knowing that you're being scrutinized constantly for every move, everything you say. It was hard. And that, it was just hard. It was. I didn't like it.
Okay. Was there at any time, did anyone do something or say something that you felt you may wanted to strike out at them in a physical way? Some of the guys said they did.
Of course, there's going to always be one person. I had one girl that I took, I think, two classes with. And when she was just around me, she would try to befriend me. But then when she got around other, like in the bathroom and places like that, she would be making her little snide remarks to her girlfriends that were in the bathroom. And I would just look at her. You know, I wouldn't say anything, because I didn't want to get into any kind of physical altercation. So, but then was one class, and I vividly remember this. It was home economics. She would try her best to distract me so I would fail the class. But what she didn't realize about me was I can do two things at one time. I was paying attention to Mrs. Pennington when she was teaching the class. And also, when she gave us an assignment, I would go beyond that to make sure that, you know, I was really aware of what was going on. And I'll never forget, this one particular day, Mrs. Pennington was teaching us how to make a bed. And the girl was trying to talk to me, you know, and loud talking me, and I was not responding. I would look at her, and then I would pay attention to what Mrs. Pennington was talking about. So down the road a little ways, Mrs. Pennington picked up on the girl talking to me, so she thought that I was participating with the girl. So she called me out to answer a question, and I zipped it off right like that. So it was, that's what I had to deal with. No other girls did that. No other girls. But she was the one. And I don't know what her purpose was. I guess, like I said, you know, she was trying to make me fail the class, and I don't know.
Being a junior, when you arrived, there were opportunities for a lot of after-school social activities, prom, homecoming. Did you have any desire to participate in any of those? Why not?
Because I knew, like I said before, I wasn't going to be accepted. You know, they didn't accept me and reach out to me while I was, you know, in class or in the school. And I didn't think that they would have, you know, in a social setting like that. And I didn't want to put myself through that.
So you didn't have anyone asking you, are you coming to prom or the ball? Or
no. Okay. My girlfriend, well, no, that was my senior year. No one. Nobody reached out to me.
Did you attend any after-school activities, games, football, basketball?
No.
And why not?
Because I didn't want to go alone, and I went my siblings, my two sisters, they were older than I, so they weren't at the house. So I had no one to go with me, and I wasn't going alone.
Okay. Transferring from Richmond, you say you were involved in a lot of social clubs. Do you feel that you missed an opportunity not being class leader in your junior, senior year, club president? Did that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I enjoyed my activities at Richardson. I really did, because my friends were there. The teachers were encouraging, you know, they would make sure if, well, like I said, I was on the honor roll the whole time, but, you know, they kept in close contact with their students, and I love that. I mean, they would pull you to the side and ask you, you know, did you understand everything, that you need help with anything, you know, in the class or anything like that. So, you know, it was totally different, totally, just totally.
Now, did you have friends from Richardson that you kept in contact with?
Yes.
How did they feel about you leaving Richardson, attending Louisa County High School?
They didn't like it. They kept asking me why. They didn't. They really did not like it. And I would tell them, you know, that I thought maybe I could, you know, develop more friends and, you know, advance a little bit. I mean, but it was... Everything was going on at Richardson that I needed, everything. I mean, that's why it was such a shock to me going into Louisa County High, because of the way I was treated. And I wasn't used to that. I just wasn't used to not participating in class and clubs and activities and all of that. I missed that tremendously. And that was one of the things that I kept thinking about. I'm like, I am losing track of all of my friends that I'm friends with. I stayed in contact with some, but I'm like, all of the people that I know there at Richardson, and we got along well together. And I miss that. I miss my teachers. I was always a teacher's pet. not because of that, but, you know, I miss because they knew my family, and if something was going on, they definitely would call my mom and talk to her. I just missed all of that, and I missed those 2 years that I lost, and I lost contact with a lot of people, because now it's like I don't remember that person.
Did any black adults, either past teachers or people in your church or community, inquire about how you were doing during that first, second year?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. No.
Okay.
No.
If they had asked, you think you would have been honest with
yes.
what you were experiencing? Okay.
Yes. I felt that comfortable with my teachers at AG that I would have shared, and they probably would, and the way I am today, I should have gone to one of them and talked to them about what was going on and how I was feeling, and you know, what would they think that I should do? Should I have gone back to Richardson or stayed there and stuck it out? But I didn't.
Okay. So, looking back now, would you have done it again?
No.
Okay.
No.
Didn't hesitate on that one?
Mm-mm. Nope, wouldn't do it.
So, how do you think making that change affected your life? Would that, you think your life would have been any different, or has it been any different because of that 2 years experience being in the pioneering group that integrated?
I don't think it changed anything. If it did, the only thing it did was enlighten me as to how different it was in Louisa County High than it was in AG. And it showed me that every person they don't think alike, you know, and it opened my eyes a lot because I still today wonder why. Why would you treat, I put myself in their shoes. Now, if I had been at AG and say some white students came over, I would have been reaching out to them like, you know, what can I do to help? You know, how are things going? You want to go to the football game tonight with me? Or I would have just been reaching out. And I don't understand why they weren't. I still, to this day, don't know.
So you went in 1965 because of the freedom of choice,
mm-hmm.
and of course Joe convinced you to mm-hmm. do that. Now, do you think that integration hurt African Americans and that should not have happened and should have stayed separated?
No.
Okay.
I think it should happen. It should have. It needed to happen.
Okay.
It really, it did. And I look at the kids nowadays, they're not going through any of that I know of, like what we did. I mean, you know, they are accepting, and they have friends, and they do activities together, and all of that. I don't know if the students reached out to them, or it was like a mutual thing. They, you know, saw somebody, and they wanted to just, you know, be friends with them, and that's what happened. But it's totally different now, totally. But it should have happened. It should have.
Have you had much contact with whites, your white classmates since you graduated?
I've gone to the class reunion, well, one class reunion, and I saw some people that I connected with. Steve Montgomery is one, and then it was Durwood. It was a couple of people that, oh, I know, and what's the guy's name? He lives not too far from me. Webner, Johnny Webner. So, as a matter of fact, I talked to Johnny about a couple of weeks ago, and you know, they are fine now. Well, for the most part, the guys, the ones that were nice. They're fine now. But I still get that feeling of not being accepted by the girls. And they have like a dinner every 2 to 3 months and they go different places. So I actually went because Steve and Johnny and all of them were bugging me about going. And I was like, okay, I'll go, because I didn't want to encounter that rejection again. And I promised myself that I wasn't going to do that, you know, to myself and allow that to happen to me again, because I have control now. I didn't have any control when I was in high school. So I went to one, and all of the classmates that were there, they were nice and accepting and very nice, actually. And I felt comfortable around them, and they were talking to me and we were carrying on a nice conversation and all of that. So they were having another one, and they wanted me to come, and I went to that one. It was totally different, totally. They were back to where they were in high school. I was a little bit late getting there, and I realized at that one that the classmates that I had, they had been in Louisa all of their lives. So they know each other, and, you know, they went to school together all the whole time, and, you know, it was like, they were like family to each other. But that last one I went to, it was like, they had tables. They had gotten there, and they were at their individual tables with their friends that they wanted to talk to. And there was one table left, empty. And I had to sit there alone. No one came over trying to talk to me or anything like that. It was very, very, very uncomfortable. Very. So Steve and his wife were late getting there too. So they sat with me once they got there. And I was getting ready to leave then because I'd had enough. I ate and I just was ready to go. So that's, they still.
Okay. Some things don't change.
No.
Before we close, just want to see if there's anything else that you would like to share that I may not have asked.
No, I think that pretty much covers it about, you know, my experience there and the students and the teachers and all of that. But I didn't know all of this other stuff was going on with the other black students. I didn't know because I did not talk with them during like study hall or anything like that, and I wasn't talking with them like outside of school. I didn't know a whole lot of what was going on until I talked with you. I didn't have those experiences, so it was just the feeling of being invisible.
And several others have used that term also, but you know, each student has a different experience, but I've heard invisible used a lot.
Yeah. It was like you weren't there. It was like, you're here, but we don't have to deal with you. That's the feeling I got.
Okay.
No, well, I don't have anything else
okay.
to say.
Well, Margie, thank you so much for coming in. And
you're welcome.
I really appreciate you being honest and sharing. And this will go a long ways toward telling our story.
Yeah, and it needs to be told. It really does. Because the kids nowadays need to know what we went through for them to get where they are today. And they're not having it anywhere near what we had to go through.
No.
Not anywhere near. I mean. Well,
thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome, Brian. It's nice seeing you.
Good seeing you. And you want to look around while you're here if you like.
Yeah, I would like that. Let's see what's going on.